We've been looking at vision and destiny for 2014, and there's a lot when you think of what God's purposes are for us. And we've actually seen that all over the world, God is actually drawing people. So he's releasing a sound, and you could call that a vibration, the same vibration that was released when the Spirit hovered over the waters and drew the waters together in the recreation, the same vibrating sound of the mighty rushing wind that was released at Pentecost when he drew the church together. And that contains a frequency and various other things, fragrancy, color, and it's being released out of heaven in these days. And it's like the sound of his voice, the sound of many waters, like deep calling out to deep. And God is calling us to come back into an alignment. He's calling out to people all over the world to come into a new heavenly alignment with him, so he can release heaven to come to earth and release the authority of heaven, which is where God rules, so that God's rule could be ministered through his people here on earth. So heaven is calling for a Joshua generation, and our destiny here is to be part of that, to help raise up that and to release that Joshua generation. And that Joshua generation, we've seen they have a different spirit, and if you want to go into it in depth, we've got teaching series that go into the 40 characteristics of that Joshua generation. And here we've had prophesied over us of being like sons of Issachar, and they were one of the tribes of Israel, and they were known for being able to discern times and seasons and being able to know what God was doing. But if we're going to be part of that Joshua generation, we have to be Jesus-centered, creation lovers of all that God has created, and that means we can't stay still. We've got to be willing to move forward, be pioneers, adventurers, and leaders in that whole thing. And we've been looking at this apostolic blueprint that he's given us that reflects heaven. And last week, we also looked at each of our lives. If we align our lives with God, our spirit, soul, and body are aligned with God and the four faces of God, then we will begin to outwork that blueprint in our own lives, that we will have mountain spheres of authority and callings to release on earth as it is in heaven. 2 Chronicles 16:9 says, "For the eyes of the Lord move to and fro throughout the earth, that he may strongly support those whose heart is completely his." So God is looking for people whose hearts are surrendered to him, whose hearts are his, not partially his, completely his. Now that is a challenge, and we're in the process where God is looking for people, because he's looking for a pattern or a shadow of heaven on earth that reflects his kingdom government. Why? Because then he can come and manifest his glory in that which looks like him. And the angels also recognize that which looks like him and come around us. And therefore we can engage with the realm of the kingdom around our lives. And so that pattern for us here, we've seen that we have a bench of three representing an apostolic council, which is like Father, Son, and Spirit, seven elders, four ministry areas, seven mountains, both in our church and lives, and then the Council of 12, and last week we looked at the ministries that we have to outwork that. So it's just recapping. Now, we are called to be an apostolic resource here. That means that we have to give away what we've received. And the Bible says, Jesus said, "Freely give what you freely received." So the thing to do in that is to receive, because you can't give what you've not received. So we have to have open hearts, being willing to receive what God has for us, and then be willing to give away that to others. So it becomes a constant flow that's coming from God to us and through us to the world, and then that cycle repeats in somebody else who receives that, and then they receive it and they give it away. That's what discipleship really is all about. So we are blessed. The word blessed means to be empowered to succeed or prosper. Now, prosper is not just in financial terms, but to prosper means to have everything we need to succeed in everything we're called to do. And therefore, we can be a blessing to others. That means locally, where we are, regionally, nationally, and internationally. And God has called us here to be like a Sandhurst or a West Point, to train people, called to raise up an apostolic and prophetic people, people who are willing to lead and equip and release others. And we need to have something in place to be able to do that. And I'm going to share today about the equipping track that God's given revelation about, so that we can minister to people and help people to engage in what God's called them to do. Now, at the end of last year, I think it was September, October time. I had a vision, and in this vision, I saw the train traveling from Barnstable to Ilfracombe. Of course, there's no train tracks from Barnstable to Ilfracombe anymore. So this, I saw this vision, and I saw that God was going to relay the tracks. And I'm not saying this is going to happen physically, although it could do. But in a spiritual sense, there were stations and places along there which were going to be reopened, and there were going to be new stations that were added. And as I saw this, it went out to Ilfracombe, and then the same thing happened from Ilfracombe out to Linton. That there was a new track going to be laid and new things were going to be opened. So I took this and went back to God and said, well, what are you actually talking about? And he basically showed me a picture of something that he wanted to see released. So I'm going to go through this and explain how we want to use this equipping track to help people to encounter God and to find their destiny. So we have two rails on this track. One is a revelation rail and one is a transformation rail. The revelation rail has stations on it, which are encounter stations. Now, in the past, a lot of teaching has been intellectually focused about giving people information. But what God is wanting to do in these days is to release revelation through encounter, to experience him actually by meeting him face to face and encountering him rather than someone else telling you about him. So God is calling us to raise up stations where people can get off the train, if you like, meet him, and then get back on the train and carry on their journey. So places of encounter. And you see that all over in the Bible, where someone like Moses had an encounter at the burning bush, totally changed the course of his life. And God wants us to encounter him so that our whole course of our life will be directed by those encounters of personal experience with him, not just intellectual knowledge of him. So we're going to put things into place that give spiritual foundations of how to build our spirit, how to encounter the rivers of God. Now, there are five rivers that are flowing here, and they flow out of heaven, and they're always here for us to engage in. And we can do that when we worship, when we come to experience him. There's lots of things about rivers in the Bible, and we know that there's a river flowing from the throne of God called the River of Life that flows out of heaven. And we need to get into that river to experience life. And we get into that river to experience new life. But there's also the river of the Spirit, the river of fire, river of grace, river of glory, that are all flowing from heaven that we need to engage actually physically in a tangible way so we can engage in that spiritual sense what God is doing. So there are things like that, learning how to build our senses and train our senses to engage with the Spirit so that we can see, hear, feel, engage with God. Finding our identity, opening up the gateways of our lives, discovering our destiny. Lots of different things that we're going to look to put in place. Heavenly Encounters foundations to teach people how to go into heaven and to experience God there, as well as God coming and living in us so we can be a gateway of heaven on earth. And there are other things later on in that thing that we'll put into place, ministry school, Joshua Generation Groups, ministry training, and helping people to understand the judicial system of heaven. So we're going to take people from, at the beginning, learning how to put these things into a basic form, and then building on that so that the river will get deeper, if you like. We start with our ankle deep, and as it is in Ezekiel 47, the river comes knee deep, waist deep, until we're completely out of our depth in God's river, which is what he wants us to be. So we're not determining where we go with the flow. And that flow will take us to our destiny if we stay in it. And on the other side of that, we've got the transformation rail with transformation ministry stations to help people become free to fulfill the things that are on the other side. So to fulfill our destiny, we need to remove the obstacles. So we've got teaching that comes from Hebrews 4:12 about the three levels of the power of God and his Spirit and his Word to divide soul and spirit, thoughts and intentions of the heart, bone and marrow, which are deeper levels of transformation so that we would become more like Jesus. And we have lots of teaching with that and experience of that through forgive and release, lie busting, lots of stuff there which we want to impart and minister to people so people will be free. So we've got lots of things along there. We will be looking to set up a healing ministry team. We've got lie busting training going on so that we'll be able to lie bust people, so that we will have ministry sessions that anyone can partake of to help them when they're stuck or when there's a blockage or when they need something to move them forward in their lives. And sometimes we get to stuck points. We just don't seem to get beyond them. So we want ministry available so everybody can have their things removed, the lies and things that are operating, so that we can fully embrace what God's calling us to do. And eventually we would want healing rooms. What Becky shared last week, a healing response dead raising team, a health center, and a city of refuge, a place where people can come and find security, find peace, find the presence of God, and be healed, restored, and made whole. So we're looking to establish these two rails to help people along the way. And eventually we'll put together a handbook, a transformation handbook, and we'll also put together a revelatory encounters handbook to be able to help not just here but other places be able to do that. Now, for all that, you need some departure stations, because if you can't get people on the track and in the train, well, you ain't going to have many people going forward, are you? So we need to find ways in which to engage people to help them encounter Jesus. Now, first of all, that's our own personal testimony, our own walk with God, where we are called to have a witness and be a witness to what God has done in our lives. So we have testimonies of that. But also there are other things that God will give us revelation of. And of course, you know, we've had many moves of the Spirit here. We want to see revival, where the windows of heaven are open, where the everlasting doors are open, where there is an outpouring of the Spirit in a supernatural dimension, where people will be drawn to the presence of God. And we've had many visions around that, about the light and God drawing people to the light and drawing people to his presence. So we'll be looking to do that. So these are connected. So where we're moving forward in our encounters with God and we get stuck, we want to be able to cross to the equipping, from the equipping to the transformation, to get the ministry we need, and then go back and carry on our journey. So anybody right from the very beginning of a new believer, right through to fulfilling their destiny and ministry and releasing ministry, that's what we want to be able to do. And there are lots of other things along the way, which I'm sure God will actually cause us to do, but this is the basic understanding of where we are right now. And of course, we need God's power right through the middle of it. When we were looking at this, Jeremy sort of said this, okay, that looks really good, but what's the power source? You know, well, actually, it's God's power, his presence, his glory, the manifest presence of God that releases his kingdom to manifest on earth as in heaven. So it's his power. Without his power, without his presence, we could set up a whole load of things, but actually we want people to meet with God experientially and be able to move forward. So this equipping track is a fast track to people's destiny. So people can get on board and pursue this. And if they want to pursue it, they can go as fast as they can. People can go at their own pace. But bottom line is we want to be able to equip people to get to where God wants them to be. Now, this is experiential rather than intellectual. So it's not going to be a whole lot of teaching sessions. It's going to be a whole lot of opportunity to meet with God and to experience him firsthand. Now, that means encounters of revelation rather than information. And the ministry rail there is to help remove all the stumbling blocks that hinder us being able to meet with God. Knowing God, knowing our identity, knowing who he is. And so that will help us to remove the lies, heal, restore, make us whole, and enable us to outwork and fulfill our destiny. So that equipping track will be suitable for one-on-one encounters. So one person can help somebody else. Small groups, larger groups, there may be some specific things we do over short periods of time to help people move forward, but they'll all be there to help us encounter God. And those departure stations are to outwork our mission, the thing that God has called us to do, to bridge the gap between church and community. It's like we need to actually be able to reach the community, demonstrate the love of God, demonstrate his heart, so people encounter God through our lives, through the things that we do. And obviously we've got ministries that enable us to do that, but also looking for going forward to God to give us revelation, and so that his Spirit will be poured out in outpourings of revival. You know, we want people to be supernaturally encountered. When you read back the history of revivals, It's awesome when God just comes in such a way that people just encounter him. Well, we want to create an environment where his glory is manifested so he can come like that, which is why he's called us to prepare the house for glory, to rewire the house, the church, so that we can be ready for those greater dimensions of his spirit and his presence. So we are going also to put together a supernatural equipping manual, and I'm sort of working on this right now, and during the rest of the year we're going to look to do this together, to have the encounters and the experiences. So it's not going to be a lot of teaching, it's going to be more a series of encounters with God to help us meet with him and to engage in heaven and to engage him on the inside. So there are two pathways of heavenly engagement that I've discovered and I've been able to travel on, and I want to be able to pass those pathways on to others: a relationship pathway and a responsibility pathway. One, the relationship flows inside out, so it flows from heaven through us and out through the gateways of our spirit, soul and body to the world around us. So everything is flowing from heaven through us as a gateway out of us. So we encounter God in relationship and the inside of us. Because guess what? We're a house of God. He lives in us. That's not just a theoretical thing. He lives in us. Therefore, there's a dimension of the spirit in us that we can actually engage, which is not time and space related. It's actually within us and is an amazing place to be able to encounter him. The second part is outside in. Responsibility to go from here into heaven and into the different realms of heaven to, as living sacrifices, learn to rule and establish heaven on earth. So the pathway of relationship, God's house, a gateway of heaven, intimacy, first love, engagement, flowing of the river of life from heaven through us, around us, cultivating the garden of our hearts and accessing God's heavenly garden, releasing the spiritual atmospheres around our lives, because we're responsible to see rivers of living water flowing through us. Now, we know the Bible says that, but actually we need to see it so that there are rivers of living water flowing through us as we drink the source of life. It says in John 4, you drink of this water that I will give you, it will become in you a well, a spring of water flowing up to eternal life. We need to engage and drink that water and receive the life that that life brings from heaven so that we can bring that life on earth. And then we can engage in the realm of the spirit around us. See, if I choose to turn on sort of my spiritual radar, I can look out into the room and I can see the spiritual atmosphere. I can see the angels that are around you. I can see the colors that you're given off. I can see where you're light or whether you're not light. If I choose to do it, everyone can learn how to do that. So we can see and engage in the spiritual realms that are around us so we can minister God's kingdom and set people free and move things forward. But there's also a pathway of responsibility. The relationship side is awesome. I mean, it's like I spend a lot of my time in intimacy with God, listening to him, talking to him, fellowshipping with him. But actually, he's called me to rule. So I need to take responsibility for those areas that he's called me to have. And for all of us, we've all got areas of responsibility that we've been given by God to rule, to bring heaven to earth through those things. So there's a responsibility that's ours as his sons and daughters to do those things that he's called us to do. So there's heavenly authority. And we can learn how to engage in the tabernacle of God, around the ark of God with the four faces of God, on mountain thrones in heaven, the courts and judicial system of heaven, to operate in lordship, kingship, and sonship. That means we need to learn to engage with wisdom. And wisdom, there's a place in heaven where we can engage in wisdom. And wisdom has seven handmaidens, which are the seven spirits of God, who will tutor us. Now, God has designed this whole system that we can engage with heaven so that heaven can transform us to outwork things on earth. And there's also the cloud of witnesses there, men in white linen, that want to pass the baton and support us in what we're doing because they have gone before us and they're waiting for victory. They're waiting for the final victory and they're cheering us on and they want to be involved. So we need to learn how to engage with them. Ephesians 3:9 says, to bring to light what is the administration of the mystery, which was for ages has been hidden in God, who created all things. So God created everything, but there were some things waiting to be revealed. He's not hidden them from us. He's hidden them for us to discover things, so that the manifold wisdom of God, and I love that word manifold, and if you do a word study on it, you can see it means multifaceted, multicolored. And God is so not one-dimensional. And it's like, I remember Ian Clayton talking to me, and he said that one day he was in heaven, and he was with one of the seven spirits of God who was training him, and he was like, I want to know everything. So one of the seven spirits of God said, pick up that blade of grass. And he picked up a blade of grass, and it was so full of the wisdom of God and the revelation of God that he had to drop it because he couldn't contain it. And then he saw that one of the seven spirits of God, I'm not sure which one it was laughing, thinking, you think you can know everything of God in an instant? But actually, there's so much that God wants to reveal to us. And he wants to do it, as it says here, so that the manifold wisdom of God might be now made known through the church to the rulers and authorities in the heavenly places. The whole of the heaven is waiting, whether it's the good angels or the falling angels, are actually waiting to see God's children released and revealed. And so we can manifest God's wisdom. And it's through the church. Just not through the church as we know it, or through what that word means to us through the revelation of what church really is. This is our destiny as sons of God, to release that wisdom. So I want to look at quickly what church is or isn't. Church, actually, really, the word church doesn't really exist in Greek or Hebrew. You know, it's an English word, I think. Jeremy will probably tell me, I think. The Anglo-Saxon derivation, which really doesn't mean what actually the word in the Bible means. So in the Bible, the word is ecclesia in Greek or kohal in Hebrew. And that means an assembly which has come into existence through a call. That's all it means. People gathered together who are called to come together. It doesn't mean all the things that have been put on it. It simply means people called to come together for a purpose. Therefore, the church is a community called into being, gathered for a certain purpose or function. That's why you need to know what your blueprint is from heaven, because it's founded on the foundation of apostles and prophets who reveal what heaven is calling that group of people to do. And it's all different. Every church has got a different call, because we're all called to for a purpose. So the church is a network of kingdom relationships that serve, support, encourage each other for fulfillment of our individual and corporate destiny. Church has to be about relationship. But relationship now can take place in many different ways. And God is drawing people to relationships all over the world, whether they're physical relationships or whether you can connect up with people over the world by Skype or by Google Plus or different things. You can see people and talk to people all over. That wasn't possible 20, 30 years ago. God is opening up the possibilities for connecting with people, being drawn together for a purpose all over the world. But the church is a witnessing or testifying community. That means it has to have encountered something real to be able to tell and speak and share what it's received. It isn't a theoretical thing. It has to be a living thing and an ongoing relationship with God thing. There are no honorary members. You can't be a member of church and not be part of it. Well, I'll just observe. No, you're either part of it or you aren't part of it. And God calls us to be participatory members, people who are involved. So the church is called to function, not just be. It's called to function. The whole thing of function is there's a purpose. So we're called to be a temple, a place where God's presence comes. We're called to be a body that does things, a community, an army, lots of different descriptions. So as a community, the church is called to be a sign, so that people can see something different about that group or people than any other group of people. And the sign that we're supposed to have is the sign of God's kingdom, that we live under a different set of rules. We live under the principles of the kingdom from heaven. We're ambassadors, and we have an embassy here on earth that demonstrates something of heaven. That's what people need to see, a sign of a supernatural dimension that God is calling us to have. Also, to be a witness to the love of God that we've received in Jesus, so that the whole of creation can see that. So when we've received something, we have to demonstrate it. So also to witness to the reign of God over all of God's creation. So we have to experience God's rule in us so we can manifest God's rule through us. Therefore, Jesus has to be Lord. You know, there was an old phrase, if Jesus is not Lord of all, he's not Lord at all. He wants us, our lives, as living sacrifices so he can, through us, demonstrate his love, power, kingdom rule to the world and the whole of creation. Don't limit it to this planet. It's the whole of creation, including all the realms of the spirit as well. So we're called to have a testimony. That means that testimony and community go together. They're inseparable. You cannot have a community that doesn't testify to something, who doesn't experience something, who doesn't have experiential revelation of the person and presence of God. Otherwise, we're just an organization. And we're not an organization. We are a community of those who have living relationship with the living, all-powerful, all-knowing, all-seeing God, which means we can also outwork those characteristics through our lives. Therefore, the task and function of the church is to witness to the world and the rest of creation, to express the manifold wisdom of God, to demonstrate this is what it's like to know God. This is the God that we know, the all-powerful God who can do all things. And we need to be able to take that. So testimony, what is a testimony? Well, testifying or testifies, really it's like if you go before a judge, you give testimony. Well, you don't give testimony about something you don't know. If you're called as a witness to give a testimony, you must have seen something that you're going to now tell people about. And God wants us to have an experiential nature to our relationship with him. And therefore to affirm to everybody what we have experienced so that we can be taught by divine revelation through encounter and witness to the rest of the world what that's like. Colossians 3:10 says this, and have put on the new self who is being renewed to a true knowledge according to the image of the one who created him. What that is saying is when we embrace who we are in identity as sons of God, there's a process that goes on that gives us true knowledge by experience that changes us into the image of the one who actually created us in the first place. Adam and Eve were created. They were created sinless, but they would have still been perfected and brought into an alignment with the image of God. And therefore, the abilities that God's Son had, we're supposed to have. And more than what we've seen of that so far. Because it's not just what he did on earth, it's what he did in heaven before he came to earth that we're supposed to be transformed into the image of. So a true testimony of personal encounter produces that image. It brings transformation. And that word, transfiguration, transformation, metamorphosis, they're all the same things. It means change into something else. And we're called to be changed from what we are now into God's image and what he has called us to be. And that comes through experiential encounters of God. It does not come through information. So if you're not up for experiential encounters, then there's very little transformation that's going to take place. So Revelation 19:10 says, and an angel was talking here to John, I am a fellow servant of yours and your brethren who holds the testimony of Jesus. We have to hold the testimony of Jesus, our personal relationship with him in experience. And we have to worship him through that. That means serve him, being obedient to him. For then it says this, for the testimony of Jesus is the spirit of prophecy. Now that's a really, really interesting phrase. And God wants us to understand what the spirit of prophecy is. Not just the gift of prophecy, but the spirit of prophecy. The spirit of prophecy is an abiding, intimate relationship that continually unveils the revelation of Jesus through our lives. Because we are experiencing him and we're releasing that experience around us to others. So it's being a habitation or a dwelling or the embodiment of God that reveals the mysteries of God's kingdom. Because God's kingdom are mysteries that we are supposed to bring into revelation so everyone can see them. So we are a house of God and a gate of heaven. So the gift of prophecy is about seeing in part, but the spirit of prophecy connects us to the whole picture. The spirit of prophecy provides the life and expression of Jesus in the earth and releases the power of the age to come. Now it's really interesting that when Jesus did his first miracle, he said to his mother who asked him to do the miracle, "It's not my time." And yet he still did the miracle. So we can get things from the age to come, which may not be the time, and bring them into now. And you know what actually, what happened in that story of turning water into wine? They said, "You've left the best wine till last." The best wine is going to come at the end of the age. The best is yet to come. I want to be part of that. Seeing the fullness of the kingdom and a full manifestation of everything that God has in heaven manifested on earth. So the spirit of prophecy is a higher order than the gift of prophecy and produces fruit through relationship, not just through gift. So that means we need to know him and his ways, not just know his works. See, the children of Israel saw what God did, but Moses had face-to-face relationship. And God is calling us to the same. Colossians 2:2 says that their hearts may be encouraged, having been knit together in love, and attained to all the wealth that comes from the full assurance of understanding, resulting in true knowledge of God's mystery. God wants us to have full assurance of true knowledge, not just intellectual understanding, but experiential knowledge of God. That is Christ himself, that we can know him. I mean, it's an amazing thing, and so often I think we take it for granted, that we can know him who created everything, personally and intimately, know him, in whom are hidden all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. So every treasure that there is of the deeper knowledges of God are hidden in Christ for us to come into an understanding of in relationship. I just think that's amazing, that God has chosen human beings to entrust with that sort of knowledge. But of course, he wants us to be transformed to be like him to outwork that. 1 Corinthians 2 again talks about this. We speak of God's wisdom in a mystery, the hidden wisdom which God predestined before the ages to our glory. So it was always God's intention that this hidden wisdom would be released so that we could manifest God's glory in our lives and through our lives. Just as it's written, things which eye has not seen and ear has not heard and which have not entered the heart of man, all that God has prepared for those who love him. Now if you stop there, that would be a sad place to stop. Because it would mean there are things that we will never see, never hear, or never experience. But it doesn't stop there. It goes on in verse 10 to say, "For to us God revealed them through the Spirit. For the Spirit searches all things, even the depths of God. Even so, the thoughts of God no one knows except the Spirit of God." And guess what? He reveals them to us. "So now we have received not the Spirit of the world, but the Spirit who is from God, so that we may know by experience, the things freely given to us by God." God is freely giving us these things because he loves us. And he wants us to come into a revelation of these things and experience them for ourselves so that we can demonstrate them on the earth and show the world what God is really like and show the world what the kingdom of God is really like and demonstrate it so that the image that people have of what church is not the building or the religious institution, but true living people demonstrating God's kingdom in a relationship with the living God and outworking that relationship. Isaiah 48, 6-7 says this, "You have heard," I think this is in the Amplified version, "these things foretold. Now you will see this fulfillment. And will you not bear witness to it?" There are things coming that have been prophesied that we are going to start to bear witness to. "I will show you specified new things. From this time forth, even hidden things kept in reserve." There are things kept in reserve for this last generation. If we're going to be that last generation, and that some of that's down to us, ready for us, which you have not known. There are things yet to be revealed that have never been seen. They are created now, called into being by the prophetic word, and not long ago, before today, you have never heard of them, lest you should say, behold, I knew them. There's a whole lot of things that we have yet to see on earth, but are in heaven. Things in the kingdom realm that have not existed in this realm yet. Some of those things are the greater works that Jesus said that his people would do. They're in heaven, they've yet to be manifested on earth, but they will be through God's people, if we're willing to embrace our destiny. They're called into being by the spirit of prophecy through a presence-connected, directed community. Once we are in a community connected with God in his presence, we will be able to release things by the spirit of prophecy that have never been seen. I think that's great. Do you want to do that? Because what would Jesus do? He created things. What did God do? He called things that be not as if they were. He created things out of his thoughts. The things that were always in his heart, he released by speaking them forth and brought them into created order. And he wants children who are going to do the same. That means us. So there's a whole dimension of things coming. And that truth that be revealed will actually bring the bride that God is waiting for into fullness of being without spot and wrinkle and blemish. The church that Jesus is going to come back to, perfected, ready to receive him. But there's some work to do. So we need to know him by experiential encounter. We need to see him in experiential encounter. We need to hear him in experiential encounter. And then we can testify to live out in a supernatural lifestyle. Everything we've seen, heard, and experienced in him, we can manifest that on the earth to bring heaven to earth through our lives. Sounds easy. It actually really is simple. It's not easy because you have to pursue it, but it's simple. We enter into an intimate relationship with God and we actually experience him and release those experiential things. So, do you want to be with us on this journey? But are you willing to participate in it? Are you willing to be and make disciples? Are you willing to find and fulfill your destiny? God is realigning things all over the world, calling people together who are hearing the sound of heaven. And we've been called to be like an army, but who acts like a family. Because God wants us to help and encourage and support each other for that purpose, to be an apostolic and prophetic community. Do you feel part of that? And I'm issuing that call, not just here in this room, but around the world. Because God is drawing people around the world to participate together to those who are called to particular visions. So I want to know, who are called to participate in this quest that we've been given? Because God is releasing this sound, this frequency. He's calling his children into heavenly alignment. He's raising up a Joshua generation all over the world, people who are being drawn to this vibration, the revelation, the light, the sound, the frequency. Now I'll leave that there. I've got a few minutes, so I just want to share a prophetic word. I was sent this prophetic word back in December, I think, and I put it in the list of all the external prophetic words that I brought, but I didn't actually read it out or anything. But I want to read this one out because I think it's really significant, because it talks about some things that we have experienced and that we are going to experience. God speaks of great shakings through wind, severe rain and storms in specific areas of the nations of the world, targeted by heaven for a massive movement of the Spirit of God. Okay, anyone seen any wind, rain and severe storms? Okay, this was given last year. Watch in 2014 where the earth shakes. Who had an earthquake this week? We did. Interesting, isn't it? Where unusual weather breaks out. For there God is allowing a sign to show where he is moving at this time in the most unusual and stormy ways. God is at work. Really interesting word. Carries on. Fire, wind, shaking. It's transformation time. Malachi 4:6, he will restore the hearts of the fathers to their children and the hearts of the children to their fathers, so that I will not come and smite the land with a curse. God is doing something to restore. A memo from heaven. Recently, I had an encounter that has transformed the message of my heart to release this word. I was visited in the middle of the night by an angel. As I sat up, awakened from a sleep, deep sleep, by a nudge at my feet, I noticed a very large, very bright light, then a form of a heavenly being standing at the foot of my bed. He was very stately, dressed in royal apparel of brilliant white, and was holding a glowing memo from God in his hand. He held the memo right in front of me, so it was simple and easy to read. I asked him who he was, and he said, "I am a messenger from the throne of the one you love. I am the angel of transformation." He had my full attention. I'm not surprised. And I thanked him for the memo, and he said, "Read it aloud to me now." I quickly obeyed and boldly spoke the following four words as the memo came alive: fire, wind, shaking, transformation. As I read the word fire, the letters were literally on fire and were crackling as if they were burning. Next, I read the word wind, and the letters were waving and moving as if wind was blowing them. Then, when I spoke the word shaking, it began vigorously shaking on the memo. Finally, when I spoke the word transformation, the letters started glistening and sparkling with the most brilliant golden shimmering, glorious light. When I finished reading these four words to the transformation angel, he said, "Deliver this message where you go." Suddenly the angel vanished, and I sat pondering this simple message. I was immediately compelled to write this memo from heaven down. God is love, so reconciliation and complete transformation are his focus. When Jesus came to earth and completed his earthly assignment in the flesh and spirit, God kept his word of completely transforming all that was lost back to relationship with him. You can be assured that in a world reeling in a backdrop of turmoil, this is the day for Christians to become a means of reconciling the lost and hurting back to God's heart. So, are you ready and willing to embrace the fire and the wind and the shaking and the transformation? Are you willing to embrace the winds of change that are blowing? Are you willing to be a Joshua generation? Are you willing to be here on this journey? These are essential requirements, that we embrace what God is saying prophetically and go for it, and be willing to be transformed, and then be willing to be used to bring God's kingdom to earth as it is in heaven. Amen? While we've been worshipping there, I've seen heaven opened, and I saw Jesus with a fiery sword shining with glory, riding on a white horse, riding to the very edge of the open heaven, and behind him the host of heaven behind him and the cloud of witnesses. And I saw Jesus usher to two angels, and an angel came and stood on my right, the angel of transformation, and he had a large trumpet to his mouth to herald transformation. And on my left, the angel of the winds of change, with a trumpet to blow like a mighty rushing wind, like a mighty storm. And out of the cloud of witnesses came a witness to stand here in front of us and holding out a golden scroll on fire. And that witness has recently become one of the cloud, and the scroll of fire is the prophetic mandate for a billionfold harvest. That witness is Bob Jones, who recently went to become part of that cloud, who's standing here now holding out an outstretched arm, shimmering with glory, a mandate for that billionfold harvest, prophetic mandate. And I would encourage you, if you feel that you want to surrender to the purposes of God, that you would come and take that scroll and place it within your heart as a transforming, mandated authority from heaven, passed on to this generation, as that mighty man of God is no longer contained by time and space, and can release the mantle and the mandate that he's been carrying for a generation, to pass it on as a baton to the next generation, a Joshua company, a Joshua generation, willing to receive the mandate to transform, to equip the next generation to come. So I'd encourage you by faith to come and take that fiery scroll and place it within your heart and allow it to transform you and take you to the next level in the prophetic call of God on your life.